Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. My name is Candace Wassell. I'm the pastor here at Faith. It is such a joy to have you visit with us. You are welcome, so welcome in every part of Faith's community. You are welcome to join us in person at worship on Sundays. You're welcome to visit us online. You're welcome in our mission and our fellowship, and most important, you are welcome at the Lord's table.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.' As the prophet Isaiah said, 'Now they have been sent from the Pharisees.' They asked him, 'Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?' John answered them, 'I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal.' This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I get started, I want to acknowledge a couple of things. If you're like my wife and I, when you saw that I was preaching today, you might have been a little disappointed. I know I am when I see that Candace isn't preaching. And because I think she's one of the best preachers I've ever seen. So I know I have a tough act to follow. And if any of you were in the first service today, that's doubly a tough act. Am I doubly?
You'll be fine.
Okay. that's doubly, I was double miking. That's doubly a tough act to follow because the kids did a great job. I also want to acknowledge that this is the first time I've preached in a church in 5 years, so I'm a little nervous, but I think we'll do okay. And I don't normally preach to this many people, even though this is kind of a small crowd. I was relieved to see the 9 o'clock service packed, knowing that this crowd would be a little bit smaller, but okay. So, with all those disclaimers, beware the preacher who starts with disclaimers. As Candace said, it's 1 week until Christmas Eve. That statement probably is met with different reactions from different people. For some of us, it probably is met with some anxiety that the presents aren't bought or wrapped and you can't find the wrapping paper, the cookies aren't baked, the house isn't clean, preparing for guests, or all the other things we worry about in this season other than celebrating the birth of Christ, or as part of celebrating the birth of Christ, perhaps? For some, it might be received with some depression. This is a tough time of the year for people who suffer from mental illnesses, either because they lost a loved one this year and this is the first Christmas without them. That's always a tough first for people. Or they're going to be alone this Christmas and they're just lonely. Or a myriad of other reasons that people just aren't happy. They're just being surrounded by people that are so happy sometimes makes people less happy. Or maybe people are just worried about someone who might be in the hospital or undergoing a surgical procedure, or and are they going to get released in time for Christmas, and how is that going to impact our Christmas celebration, and all those things. And hopefully, for some of us, it's met with joy. We're looking forward to the celebration of the birth of Christ and all that means, all the family and presents and food and worship that means. So our readings today are kind of a mixed in pointing to the two aspects of Advent that Candace talked about 2 weeks ago, the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. John's gospel is pointing to the first coming of Christ, although it's not the birth of Christ, it's the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth. John's gospel does not have a birth narrative, so it's pointing to Jesus, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The Old Testament reading is pointing to the Israelites looking at the first coming of Christ, and things aren't going as they expected in the post-exilic period, and God is making promises to them about when he comes. But in Paul's epistle, which is where I want to focus our attention, we're looking at very specifically at the second coming of Christ. This entire letter from Paul to the church at Thessalonica is about teaching them how to prepare for the second coming of Christ. And this section is the closing of that, the first letter to the Thessalonians. In those final directions, Paul commands us to rejoice always. So if we're stressed or anxious or depressed in this season of hope, what do we make of this command to rejoice always? As I reflected on those words, I felt very convicted, because I know I fall short of that, perhaps most of the time, certainly some of the time. So how are we able to rejoice always? It seems at face value something that's impossible. But here we are on the third Sunday of Advent, 7 days from Christmas Eve. In the peculiarity of this year's calendar, this is our last worship service before Christmas Eve. Our last Sunday worship service before Christmas Eve. So in some places, and 20 plus years ago in the ELCA, this Sunday was referred to as Gaudet Sunday. Gaudet is Latin, meaning to rejoice. This is the Sunday of joy, when the seers lit the Advent candle It is the candle of joy for the third Sunday of Advent. So the focus on this Sunday is joy. So how are we to rejoice always when we live in a world where bad and evil things are happening to people all the time? Our prayer list here at Faith is full of people who are suffering from illnesses, suffering from family issues, suffering from financial issues, having family members who are facing surgeries or facing serious illnesses. The news is full of crises at home and abroad. We don't have to look far to find the fallenness of the world, but we're still called to rejoice always. So before I turn to how I think we do that, I want to highlight what I don't think Paul is saying, and that is we're not called to always be happy. We're not called to fake happiness. There's a thought in some corners in the church that if you love Jesus enough, you're not depressed. If you love Jesus enough, you're always happy. And I just don't think that's very useful. I don't think that's what Paul's talking about, and I don't think that's what God calls us to. In fact, I think that's a perversion of true joy and true rejoicing. So true joy is much deeper than that. It's not based on our feelings. It's our feelings are always up and down depending on what's going on in our lives. True joy is a gift from God. Can we bring up the picture? Look at this picture. This picture was posted on Facebook a couple weeks ago by John Major. It's a picture of their nativity set. And I saw this as I was thinking about this sermon, and it just really struck me. Because here we have Christ in the center of joy. And I think that captures the sense of true joy. You see, I believe holding Christ in the center is the key to true joy. Knowing that no matter what happens in this life, we are His and we will be okay. If we can focus on that, remembering that the trials of this life are fleeting, no matter how bad they seem, that's the key to being able to rejoice always. Another key I see in this picture is we hold Christ in the center of us. We strive to have Christ in the center of us. And when we're really focused on living in the center of Christ's will, I think that's when we experience the most joy. My thought on that was challenged a little bit when I was in the Faith Center between services and saw those kids. I think maybe kids have more true joy than adults do. Maybe they lose it at some point, but I felt like maybe I was lying about how to experience true joy because a bounce house might be it. But anyway, in my experience, the most joy I've ever felt has been The few times in my life, if I'm honest, when I'm really operating in the center of what Christ wants me to do. And if I know that, why don't I do that more? That's a great question. And maybe a topic for another teaching or sermon, I don't know. But I do believe that, and I think it's true, and I've experienced it many times. And the most recent time is now. The joy I feel standing here after where I was 4 or 5 years ago when I first started coming here and I met with Candace and told her I was adrift and I was probably further from God at that point than I'd been in 30 years. And I think she knew that. And I said at that point, I don't want to preach, I don't want to do anything. And she said, well, maybe we'll just see how that goes. And I thought, yeah, we'll see how that goes. I ain't doing it. But Candace didn't coerce me or talk me into this. She just kind of let God be God. And so I really believe that the key to joy is following God's will for our lives. Michael Holmes, who is a theologian who wrote a commentary on these books to the Thessalonians in the NIV Application Commentary, writes on this passage, "To rejoice always is to see the hand of God in whatever is happening and to remain certain of God's future salvation. Paul has in mind a stable and deep-rooted joy which enables him, but even more so a congregation, to cope with disappointments and see them in their true value, in their true perspective. And that true perspective is rooted in the conviction that in any and all circumstances, God is at work on behalf of his people, reason enough to give thanks and rejoice and thereby fulfill God's will for us. True rejoicing, then, is knowing and trusting and celebrating Christ's presence with us always. It is knowing that we are his, and no matter what happens in this life, we are with him for eternity. If he is with us always, then we can indeed rejoice, because no matter what happens, good, bad, or in between, Christ is with us to see us through it. Knowing and trusting that, we discover life is worth living and full of meaning and fulfillment. Rejoicing always is living in relationship with Christ each day and valuing that relationship more than anything or anyone in this world. It is seeing Christ at work, no matter the circumstance. So, we can rejoice always and still be anxious or depressed or worried as long as we don't lose sight of whose we are. Christ will help us through whatever life throws at us, as long as we stay focused on the end game and not let the troubles of this world distract us. So on this Gaudete Sunday, my prayer for us in the coming weeks and beyond is that we can focus on what God is calling us to do. Focus on the celebration of the birth of his son and the joy of discerning and following God's will for us in the coming days. May the gift of joy and the ability to rejoice always be given, shared, and celebrated among us as we celebrate the birth of Christ and prepare for his second coming. Amen.
The most valuable message we have to share at Faith is the promise we have in Jesus. We come together every Sunday to share this good news in the reading of Scripture and sharing of Holy Communion. It is these two acts of worship that we learn of the forgiveness, peace, and joy that Jesus has won for us on the cross. These gifts also belong to you, and we hope you will feel welcome to receive them. After we've shared worship together, we trust that we are ready to be sent out into the world to serve our neighbor And you're welcome to join us in that great work as well. There are so many opportunities at Faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. It's what we feel called to do. It's what we're passionate about. Above all, I want to encourage you in your faith. No matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, you are welcome to visit Faith as often as you are able. But whatever you do, keep searching. There is a church family set aside just for you, and I trust the Holy Spirit will place you right where you need to be.